another great Monday and another week of the Mary Griffith Show begins, and the sunshine has appeared, and I mean, of course, outside and inside as well. Marcel Wagner, who's in charge of the Great River Economic Development Foundation, is always my guest. The first Monday of every month, we're going to talk about everything going on in the world of economic development in Quincy. Darnation, why did it rain on our parade, literally? That's always a wonderful thing. I think nobody looks better in the sunshine with the dogwoods in bloom than Quincy, so you can't control the weather, but I imagine there were still some out-of-towners that took in the architectural tours and maybe saw a little bit of our fair city. Any little bit helps, right?
I saw on the news one of the houses at the Quincy Preserves had over 400 people.
Oh, I bet some of them had about 1,000 through. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. That's one of our most wonderful assets, of course, is those architectural.
The homes are just gorgeous.
They are. Hats off to everybody who allows people to walk through their home. I couldn't get mine clean enough, first of all. But then I could always say, oh, I'm sorry, we had a preview and people tracked all this mud in. So maybe I'm just missing the boat.
Yeah. It's always better to have an excuse.
Why mop the floor when you could just blame it on a home tour? Well, you've got some marketing things that are going on right now. And, you know, we laugh a lot. Marcel doesn't usually break any big news on the Mary Griffith Show, although he has a few times. But, you know, economic development is slow and steady, and slow and steady often wins the race. So you've got to always be putting yourself out there, and we've had representatives over in Germany. We've had them down in Atlanta, Georgia. You've got something going on with Chicago right now. What's happening?
Yeah. This region, years ago did a lot of joint marketing and that kind of fell by the wayside. And, I've been working with, our partners up in Macomb and Galesburg, and we've established what we're loosely calling the Western Illinois Development Partnership. And after work today, a group of us and one of the representatives from Ameren will be on the train headed to Chicago. And then we're going to spend the day in Chicago tomorrow. We have meetings with five or six different national consulting firms, national real estate firms. And we've put together a package of information, ours on Quincy, Macomb's on Macomb, Galesburg's on theirs, each touting our regional assets and our regional strengths. And these are meetings that the consultants like for you to come to visit them at their office, number one. But also you can tell them things about what's going on in your region that they probably won't read in a newsletter or anything. Now, I do send monthly correspondence to a list of them, and some of them read them and call me back. But these are things like we're going to promote the potential new port site here in Quincy and the development acreage that we have down in South Quincy Development District. Galesburg is going to talk about their rail infrastructure. They're one of the biggest rail hubs in the region. And so we'll each talk about our primary assets. When you talk to these folks, and we're meeting with companies like Deloitte, which is one of the largest site selection firms in the country, Duff & Phelps, which is another large one, and several others. And then we're also going to go over and meet with the state's new marketing person. The new Illinois Business and Economic Development Corporation has hired away Indiana's chief marketing officer, and she's now working for the state of Illinois.
That's interesting. She spent the last year telling people to move to Indiana because Illinois was so terrible. To shut her up, we hired her over here.
Well, the interesting thing is she developed a very effective, if you've gone across the Indiana Turnpike, when you get near Chicago, Gary, that area, they put up billboards that said, "Are you Illinois with high taxes?" And this was her marketing campaign. And so I called her last week and said, "We're going to be in Chicago. We'd like to come over and talk to you." She goes, "Yeah, that'd be great." And I said, "I know you. You're the Illinois billboard lady." She said, "Yeah, now I'm trying to figure out how to undo that."
Well, good. We need her. We need her on our side, not working against us. So, you know, and that just goes to show, I mean, everybody has something to put a spotlight on, and everybody has something they want to put a little bit behind the curtain in the shadows. Yeah. And every community has that. So you've got to put your best foot forward at all times and tout what you're great at. And so that's what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, and it's not just Illinois. It's every state. They have ups and downs. And so you market your strengths and you to your criticisms. And so that's what we hope to do tomorrow. And probably this is the first venture. We're talking about doing some additional trips like this. the new marketing organization, the Illinois Partnership that they're putting together with Jim Schultz at the helm, is going to be focused on partnering with local communities. So we're looking forward to, probably for next year, once they get up and as they get up and running, is being able to work some trade shows with them and some targeted marketing events that we will partner with the state in doing some of these events. And these are good partnerships. In my community back in Ohio, we had a very strong partnership with the state. One of the shows that I did every year for about 10 years was in the big show that happened last week in Hanover, Germany. We brought three projects back for our community over the span of 10 years, which have hired 300 to 400 people and, you know, millions of dollars in investments. So it's not a you go one time and come back with a company. It's a long-term investment in promoting your community, in relationships. As great as electronic communication is, there's still that need for that face-to-face partnership. And what we're hoping to do with the event tomorrow is just create a top-of-mind awareness. So if you know, one of these companies has a client that says, you know, we're really looking for someplace adjacent to the river where we can move large volumes of material in and out by barge, hopefully they'll think of, well, Quincy's got that capability right now, and they're looking to build bigger capabilities. So
yeah,
that's what we need to do.
That's what you need to do, Tout. So Quincy, McComb, and Galesburg will have a joint presentation in front of this agency face-to-face, so you know they're going to be listening to you because you can see if they're falling asleep or if they're clicking past your right. Facebook page to hanging cat in tree or whatever. So that's good. And you know, a lot of times, and it takes some education on this. I still fall into this trap myself of a very, you know, inside-the-box thinking. You know, Galesburg's pretty far away. Nobody would commute there on a daily basis for work. But if Galesburg, something big happened in Galesburg, it would definitely impact McComb and Quincy as well. And so, like you said, if you can get, if they've got the strength of the railroad, we've got railroad strength here.
Right.
We've got the port here. Macomb's got, you know, higher education. At least we hope they'll continue to have higher education. So everybody's got a piece of the pie. And, you know, these companies will look and say, hey, here's where we need the strengths. And this is, you know, why not Quincy? Quincy has the water. Quincy has the highway system. Finally, we've got the rail system. We've got the job force. So you just kind of got to keep plugging and keep your name out there.
Well, and when these large firms have a project for one of their clients, unless there's something so specific to your community that they know about, they're going to look at a region. They're going to look and say, well, my client wants to be along the CKC somewhere between Chicago and Kansas City.
Why not here?
And why not here? So we need to promote ourselves first as a region, and then as the competition for sites and or projects goes forward, then they get down to looking at individual communities. But usually there's a geographic reason why they want to be in that area. You know, could be here because of the mines here that provide calcium carbonate.
Sure.
It could be access to the river. In Galesburg, it could be access to five Class A railroads. So every project is different, but they tend to look first at a region, and we really need to promote our region because, I mean, Galesburg and Macomb, they're all part of our Tri-State Summit region, so we need to partner with them.
We need to do that, and we're going to talk about the Tri-State Summit coming up. We're going to take a real quick break. We're going to talk more about the port situation. You know, it's interesting. Speaking of economic development and tourism sprucing up, last week, this median across the street from WT80 Radio looked pretty scroungy. It was full of weeds. The knockout rose bushes were dead. And in front of the Dogwood Festival, somebody got out there, I think the city crews or the district, I don't know who paid for it, but somebody paid for it, and they threw some, blooming petunias in there and threw some foliage in there, and it looks a lot better. Now, that's just a cosmetic fix, but you know what I mean? And then the people reported back, you know, we put down all this stuff, but the curb is crumbling. So now we've got the crews out there fixing the curb. So sometimes just a cosmetic fix. Yes, that doesn't mean that a new company is going to come to Quincy, but why not try?
Right.
Why not attempt to make our town look beautiful? When you come across that bridge,
right,
you don't want to be like, oh, what kind of place am I coming to?
And this is truly a case of curb appeal.
Curb appeal, literally. Literally. It's 928. As always, your phone calls are welcome. Maybe you have a question about economic development. Maybe you have concerns about something that's going on in the state of Illinois. Give us a call at 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. That's 1-800-228-9823. We'd love to have a phone caller. Talk a little bit about what's on your mind when it comes to economic development. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
It's so hard to explain everything that I'm feeling.
Engelbert Humperdinck. Gosh, I bet he had trouble in kindergarten writing his name on the top of his paper. He's 80 years old today. My guest today is Marcel Wagner with the Great River Economic Development Foundation. Marcel, you're supposed to laugh at my corny jokes. is here. We're going to talk a little bit about the port. Now, I mean, I'm starting to get a little tired of talking about the port, but it's happening. We keep chugging forward. It's kind of like the Champ Clark Bridge. Someday there'll be a new bridge at Louisiana if we only keep talking about it and hoping. So what's happening with the Port Authority?
Well, this past month was really busy. The feds have a new program for funding projects like this called the FAST Act. And so we had a rather lengthy application. It was due in the middle of this month. And we couldn't do this without the help of our consultant, Ann Schneider, Charles Bell and Mike McLaughlin with the port. And then also the folks at Klingner Engineering are invaluable. Without all those people working on this, we couldn't get those rather lengthy technical applications done. So big thanks to all those folks. And that was due on the 15th. And then last Friday, there was another round of the Tiger Grant applications. A week ago Friday, our consultant and Charles Bell and I went up. We met with Senator Durbin in his office in Springfield and sat down and laid out all our information and said, we really need your help. And I think, again, I think that face-to-face contact is critically important.
Well, now, Senator Durbin has been helpful in the past, but just not helpful enough to get the darn thing passed. Of course, you can't rely on one person.
No.
But is he hopeful for us? I mean, what, you know, you have to be realistic.
He brought up a couple other potential sources of funding. He said we need to talk to the EDA up in Chicago. So we'll be doing that. There's evidently some unused earmarked funds from back when there was earmarks that are sitting around someplace. And he said, you know, you ought to take a look into going after some of those. So he was very, very helpful. Having him here in Springfield and not in D.C. was a plus because we had his undivided attention along with Bart Alfreds, his chief of staff here in the region. So I think those types of things are very, very important. Keeping and developing much better information. These applications get more and more technical, and without, again, the help of our consultant and the help of the folks from Klingner and Charlie Bell, it just wouldn't be possible. I don't think people understand when you have a 50-page application that wants to know 50 different things about your project, and that's what you're competing against. You have to have that. You have to have that data.
You can't leave any of them blank, folks.
No. And then coming up towards the end of May, we're going to get all of our local partners, and we've gotten great support letters from legislators in Iowa and Missouri, as well as all over Illinois, for the project. And we're going to have an update meeting, so we'll have a pretty significant meeting coming up towards the end of May, just to bring our local partners together along with the legislators to say this project has gained momentum. We have some options. Can I tell you we'll get it funded this year? No, I can't tell you that, but I can tell you we are getting much more competitive. We had help from the folks up at WIU and Macomb on crunching some of the data and putting together some of the cost-benefit analysis. All that figures into this. They want to know, not only do you need the port, but will it sustain itself once you get it up and built? And so
sure.
Those are things that, again, we've had local companies supply information to us. So,
Well, if you build it, they will come.
And on the other side of it, it's a project that will benefit us for 50 years.
For many years, yes. Now, when you're talking with someone like Senator Dick Durbin, okay, take the Republican or the Democrat. He happens to be a Democrat. Take that off the D and the R off the back of his name. He has been around for a long time. Is very high
right.
in the leadership of the U.S. Senate. Does he, I mean, do we have a better chance because we're Quincy, Illinois, not Quincy, Massachusetts, because we have Dick Durbin, who's, you know, so high up in the hierarchy? Or in this particular case, is it he's just one of 50 and that's about it?
No. I think in this case, his rank and his status in the government works very much in our favor. Secretary Fox at the Department of Transportation, Mr. Durbin said, I'll call him. You know, he has sent letters. All that's important. It's not just the, if it was strictly based on the business aspect of this, if we could make our best case, it would move forward. But there's a political side mm-hmm. to everything. And,
sure.
and the reality is we need Senator Durbin. Later today, Congressman LaHood's going to be in town. He's going to visit a couple of companies, and then we're going to take him down to the port site. His support's been tremendously important.
But again, he's a very junior member.
He's a junior member.
You know, we're kind of lucky because we have Durbin with all the rank, and, you know, he's got mm-hmm. the rank.
Right.
We've also got Kirk, who's really in an election. He could, you know, he's yeah. going to have to step up, so we may be able to get a lot more support out of him. You know, the more, again, it's bringing home the bacon. You know, you hate, everything's a pork project until it's your project.
Right.
Then it's a port project,
and
not
port,
a pork project. Right.
Yeah,
there are no pork projects in Quincy.
The K and add a T,
that's right. There are no pork projects in Quincy. There's only a port project. But again, it's all politics, and having a very influential, almost impossible to dethrone guy, yeah. and then another guy who's kind of fighting for his life, this could be beneficial to
Plus
us.
Plus, when
this
you
year.
Add to the mix, Grassley and Graves from the
yeah.
other states, when they say, "Yeah, we our three states have this 35 county, you know, compact," and as everybody looked at this, we all agree that this is where we should be, and so when you see that regionalism, that plays a big part in it too.
We're going to take a break, but I want to talk about the Tri-State Economic Development
yep.
Summit because it's coming up really quickly, and we want to talk about that. It is 9:38 at Talk Radio 930 WTAD.
Listen, Mr. Kent, you see, I got to get back to my baby once or more. Anyway, yeah, give me a ticket for an aeroplane.
Oh, ain't got time to take a fast train. Well, Marcel's going to take a fast train. He's going to be in Chicago tomorrow. Marcel Wagner representing the city of Quincy and doing it well as he meets with economic development interests. Hopefully he'll come home with a whole bunch of proposals to build giant factories in the city of Quincy or buy goods from our local producers. But
the former statement is not a statement of the Great River Economic Development Foundation.
We can hope. Hey, one thing that came out of that terrible flood in 1993, you know, if anybody can find a silver lining in every black cloud, it's Chuck Schultz. And that turned out to be a defining moment for this tri-state region because we realized we need each other, baby. We
Absolutely.
Need each other. And that has continued this tri-state development summit. It has a housing component, a jobs component, an economic development component, a workforce component. Let's talk about it. It's coming up here real quick.
November 18th. Is,
well, I thought there was one in June. That must just be the housing
summit. June is the housing summit.
Okay.
And the folks down in Bowling Green who run that have done a tremendous job. Last summer we had the tourism summit, which was up in Iowa, and in the fall of this year we have the full Tri-State Development Summit,
okay.
which we expect 300 to 400 people.
So I was jumping the gun, but it's not till November.
Yeah. And it's November 18th.
We Great.
It's a Friday before Thanksgiving. We're hoping to be able to get a lot of our federal legislators at the meeting, and again it'll be focused on the successes that the summit has had in transportation and housing. In a whole number of other areas. This year, we're going to be adding a workforce component to it. We're looking for a national workforce speaker. We are a regional workforce. People commute. The river is just something they cross to get to or from work. And so we're going to add a stronger workforce component. But we started the planning. It's going to be at Iowa Wesleyan. If you've not been there, it's a beautiful campus. The main speakers and all that will be in there. They have a 750-seat chapel, which is just magnificent. Right across from the chapel, we'll be having the area for lunch and all that. So it's a very, very nice venue, easy to get to, parked essentially right at the door. And so we're really looking forward to a good conference. the steering committee, which is made up of folks from not only Quincy, but Missouri, Northeast Missouri, Southeast Iowa, have been working on lining up speakers, on the program. We're going to try to cram 5 days worth of information into 5 hours. But it should be good. It's a great event. And it's a very unique event. When Jeff Finkel, who's the president of the International Economic Development Council in Washington, spoke at our last one, he said, I don't know of any other region with a three-state compact like this that gets together and discusses the principal issues of the day and what can we do to make our region better.
Well, it's really exciting. And as you said, that's coming up in November. And then just next month is this housing summit. Now, one of the things that we are deficient around in here is affordable housing for a certain income level of society. I was quite fascinated with the big announcement last week that the Northeast Community Action Corporation is now crossing the river and coming into Western Illinois to provide some of the housing help that they have been so successful with. Mm-hmm. They're just going to kind of transplant it over here. Two Rivers Regional Council of Public Officials is in charge of that. But Northeast Missouri has done nationwide. They've been recognized as a leader nationwide. So now they're going to come and lend some of their expertise. And how is housing a factor when you're trying to attract people? I mean, first and foremost is workforce. They got to know that they'll have people to come and work.
Right.
But then the second thing they have to say is, will our top-level management have a home to live in? And where will our workers live? Is there affordable housing for our workers? Is that how far up the food chain is housing when it comes to what you're doing?
Well, quality of life is something that plays into every location decision or retention decision, absolutely. The first things they look at is the cost of doing business, and then workforce, and then sites and locations. And then connectivity, you know, do I have high-speed internet? Do I have all those things I need? Those are really the top four or five things. And then you get down into the other issues, which are quality of life. And people look at those items. Normally, if you're in competition for a project, you'll go through a series of meetings over a number of months. And as a company or a consulting firm gets more comfortable with your community and feels that you can provide for their client the best possible location, then those are the things that come down the road later on. So if we have a good handle on housing, on schools, on access to culture, those are the things that can add or take away points when you get to the final decision. When you get down to one or two sites and you look at it and you say, okay, you know, I'm going to have to move a manager from Indianapolis or Chicago. And can they find, you know, a good quality home up to their standards here in the area? Can in their supervision find those mid-priced houses? Can their workforce find affordable rentals or homes? So, yeah, it does play into it. And organizations like the group over in Missouri,
NECAC has done just a wonderful job. And, of course, they deal with low income. Again, you know, we do. How would you rate the housing? Let's just talk about the housing in Adams County. How would you rate it? If you were, an entry-level person coming here for a welding job at Knapheide or whatever, now you're moving here from somewhere else, is there safe, affordable, sanitary housing available at a price that you can afford with your wages?
I think if you're willing to look for it, yes, there is. There's new rental properties being developed because of, you know, a lot of the millennials now, they don't want to own a home. They don't want the responsibility of, you know, cutting the grass and maintaining it. They'll look for a rental property. I think that's where, and even, you know, the new professionals coming in to work in the area, they like the second story downtown living. They don't want to be tied down to last Friday night I got home from work and I cut my grass for an hour. A lot of young people would rather live where they can go home after work, walk down the street to a restaurant, walk to, you know, cultural activities, entertainment.
And we're developing that. That's really in full swing now with the district. And the city has passed that ordinance where you get a little help for upgrading those upstairs units.
But you have to supply something for that broad spectrum.
Right.
So we have some really wonderful housing out in the townships. People who want to live in a historic home can find a beautiful home to restore. So we do have a variety. Can you use more? We can always use more.
This anecdote is getting to be 30 years old. So, you know, this is an old anecdote, but I remember when I was just a whippersnapper. 30 years ago, the joke was BASF was then American Cyanamid.
Right.
And the joke was they were headquartered in New Jersey.
Right.
Nobody in New Jersey wanted to move to Hannibal, Palmyra, or Quincy, Illinois. You had to drag them here, you know, literally at a point of a gun almost with a chain dragging them. Once they got here, nobody ever wanted to go back to New Jersey because the home they could buy here, the quality of life they could have here, they found out this little sleepy river towns of Hannibal, Palmyra, and Quincy afforded them a much higher, for example, housing, you know, gosh, a $500,000 house out there at that time was a $50,000 house here. So you know what that's like. You've lived on the East Coast. So it's kind of funny. Once you get people here, it's not as hard to keep them here. But, you know, there's always this reluctance to change. That's just a human nature thing, reluctance to change.
It's a Midwest thing, I think. In my years in Ohio, we had a large company that was moving a manager from Southern California to here, and his wife said, "Oh my God, I don't want to go there." And then they came here, and you know, they had a 1,500 square foot ranch house out there that was $600,000. They came here, they bought a 5-acre place, and they built a home, you know, in Northwest Ohio. And you know, like myself, I came from the Philadelphia area. I got to the Midwest, and am I going to move back? Never, but. You know,
you want to live in a small space when you do, right?
Yeah, and I see with my family. I mean, my mom has a 2-bedroom condo in Western New Jersey. That's you know, someday when she sells it, it's a $300,000 home, and it's a little bit bigger than your studio here.
I mean, that is one of the things. You know, housing, we don't have a problem around here, I don't think, about high-end housing because you got enough money, you can build anything you want. I mean, let's face it, you know, somebody will build you a home if you got enough money. It's that lower end. It's those people who are just starting out or those people who are struggling because they don't have the skill level. So they're going to struggle in their 20s, especially until they maybe work their way up some kind of chain of command at their company. That lower income housing is always, I think, in every community,
kind of
a problem. Well, we're looking forward to the Housing Summit in June, to the Tri-State Economic Summit, which is the big granddaddy of them all, in November. And we're looking forward to continued conversation with Marcel Wagner. But first, we have to take a break so that they can afford my exorbitant salary here at WTAD. Singing my song. First Monday is the Monday devoted to the Great River Economic Development Foundation, the Mary Griffith Show, the Great River Economic Development Foundation, and you right on cue. The new brand for our Adams County, Quincy area, right on cue, got a lot of publicity. It was the theme of this year's Dogwood Festival. How is right on cue catching on?
Well, thanks to the chamber and their staff and choosing that as the parade theme, it was very, very obvious what that is. There's a number of new things coming up. Joy in our office will be here next month to talk with us. There's a lot of things planned for the new brand. Gretif is looking at rebranding our logo and stuff, so we're working with the local company on doing that. So it's taking off, and it's doing what it should. It's gaining notoriety in the community. People are using it. People are finding creative ways to use it, and that's what it's all about.
You know, it's great to see because, again, the creativity and getting people thinking, and there's just the intangible called pride.
Right.
You know, we've noticed, you know, the high school started it with this Raider pride, now Blue Devil pride, and all this pride. Everybody's got pride, although pride goeth before a fall. But it's interesting because there is something to be said for holding your head up and your shoulders back and saying, I am proud of my community.
Well, and if you read the narrative that was developed along with that, and you really look at that descriptor of who this community is very powerful. I mean, it really talks about the essence of this community being one of service, one of compassion, one of passion for who we are. So that's important.
Well, just think, ADM donated land for a new school. McNay Trucking Company gave $225,000. you know, when you go out to sell this community and you say we're going to have all brand new elementary schools right. in 6 years, we're going to have, you know, addition to our high school open this right. This fall, and major companies in our community are so excited they're hopping on board. You can't go wrong with that kind of outlook, can you?
And then when you put in QU and what they do and John Wood, this is a great community with tremendous, tremendous assets.
Marcel Wagner, I couldn't have said it better myself. We've got some problems, folks. We're not hiding our heads in the sand, but by golly, where would you see this kind of cooperation? You know, not many other places. So we'll talk about it again the first Monday of June, by right. golly. It won't be that long before. And you say Joy's going to be here next time.
Joy's going to be here next time.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you couldn't go golfing today, but get on that train to Chicago and do your job.